Thank you very much for attending this meeting of the Economic Development and Planning Scrutiny Committee. Just while we're here, because there's members of the public here, just to say that you're very welcome. It's a public meeting. It's being recorded, so you can follow it afterwards as well. You've got a right to attend, but not a right to speak. I hope you find it useful. We start with the minutes. Anybody got any? Happy to approve them.
No.
Okay. Public questions times nil. Councillor sessions nil. Members items nil. Called in items nil. And so we're going to move to the final recommendations from the Task and Finish group. Which have been circulated to everybody. The report has been written on our behalf by Michelle, and I hand over to you to lead us through it, if you will, Michelle.
Thank you. So ordinarily, when we have these kind of reports on the agenda, we'd go through page by page, but this one's a bit different because it's basically feeding back to you. You fed back to us.
Yeah.
So I think it probably makes sense not to do that today and just basically to highlight what this report's actually doing. So you can see that I've set out basically the various areas that the Task and Finish group were looking at in terms of town centre events, how that scope kind of developed as the process went on, kinds of information that were gathered and the questions that some of that raised, both in terms of what we're doing, what our role is, how we do it, and whether we want to be thinking about doing things differently in the future. So hopefully the kind of the potted history of those various working groups is captured within this, because ultimately this report will be forwarded on to Cabinet for consideration. So this is basically the note of that piece of work from start to finish. And the finish for this piece of work is the recommendations at 517. So I think there's 10 recommendations.
I'm going to stop you there.
Yep.
Does anybody want to comment on the text before we go to the recommendations? Any particular points that have been made? The only one I would make is in information gathering. Were there any other bodies, organisations or people that anybody talked to that aren't on that list? The only one I've got is Stafford in the World. I spoke to the MP, and which was the then MP, which was Jeremy Lefroy. I've spoken to him, if he could perhaps be added,
okay,
about Stafford in the World.
Okay.
Okay, so happy to move on to recommendations, because we've spent a year on this, and I think we're getting to the denouement now.
Okay, so what I've tried to do is group the recommendations so that those under a particular theme are kind of linked to each other so that they make sense and sort of follow through. So it starts very much with the kind of strategy, policy, sort of overview area. So there's recommendations around members' engagement in a variety of documents that are either already starting to be produced or ones that we know are going to be reviewed in the coming months and years. So that kind of covers off that first recommendation.
We'll stop with that. Sorry, yeah. we'll stop and see if anybody wants to raise points. Those documents include?
So we've got the economic growth strategy. So that one was adopted in 2020, runs to this year. So that's probably the next significant piece of work that will be coming through. The Stafford Town Centre Master Plan, we're at procurement for that at the moment, and there's a requirement within that that there's plenty of engagement and consultation. And then any other strategies and plans as relevant.
And is everybody happy with number one recommendation? Okay, move
okay
to number two. We'll take them one by one.
Yep.
So approve each one.
Number two goes into a little bit more detail on that Stafford Town Centre Master Plan. So basically this is making sure that the vision, the delivery ideas around that document then have some kind of status within the council framework, and the most appropriate way of doing that is having a hook into planning policy. So that's where the local plan development comes from. So as a comparison with the Stafford Station Gateway, for example, the master planning work that was done on there, that's directly referenced in the draft local plan. So that's basically what this is saying, that this isn't a master plan to go and sit on a shelf, that we then look at how that gets embedded into wider council policy.
Some of the things around things we've looked at in terms of events might link into licensing as well as planning. Is there any scope that it can include licensing policy as well as planning policy in terms of that?
I think in principle there's no reason why you wouldn't add that to the recommendation. The only reason I hesitate is I don't know whether there is any emerging licensing policy that this would time well with. So we just need to check on that. I think in principle if there is, it would make sense to add that in.
You're happy with that, Doug?
Yeah.
So we'll include that then, shall we?
Sorry, Jim. Does this include the Sound Centre Master Plan? Does that include the input from Lorraine Conkey's organisation? Because she seems to have most of the events that are happening in the town.
So the engagement and consultation will be with all interested stakeholders and partners. So we're not looking at particular individuals. We're looking at, as with any consultation the council does, engaging as many people as want to be involved.
Okay. So we're happy with two.
Yeah.
Approve three.
Okay, so number three is basically very similar to number two insofar as we're talking about reflecting the Stafford Town Centre Master Plan within the new corporate plan, because timing wise that's being reviewed at the moment. So it's just another hook for that document.
Is that okay? Okay, and we're going to four now, Michelle. We're making progress.
We are. Okay, so now we move into the recommendations around the Town Centre Partnership. And since the committee last met, the partnership have sort of changed the focus of the way that they're operating, which is why that's referenced in this report. I think actually they were meeting on the same day we were at the last meeting, so that's why some of the language is slightly different to the discussions that the Task and Finish Group had had, because it was operating in a different way at that time. So this is basically asking that the council take a position whereby whatever structure it is that the Town Centre Partnership move forward with, that there's somebody embedded within that that's an events champion, but rather than that being somebody who is willing and enthusiastic alone, this is somebody that actually understands events, that maybe has that as their professional background, just so that I think that gets the kind of the recognition that it needs on the basis of the findings of the Task and Finish Group.
I think one of the key points in that was that it should be a proactive private sector events champion, that it should, that person, not it, they should come from the private sector and not rely on the local authority to provide that service, which has happened in the past. And that's the wording to read. It was trying to structure what had taken place in all the discussions that came about, that started with the work that Dee put in almost a year ago. So we're okay with that one?
Okay.
Next one then.
So number five, so we're still with the Town Centre Partnership, and this is basically broadening out the point that Francis just made around working with partners and other, particularly community organisations, to identify opportunities for events. So it's, and I know we talked about this in the Task and Finish Groups, it's not about one person having the responsibility of thinking, what do we need, when do we need it, how are we going to do it, that this is actually a collective effort, particularly in the context of everything that's changing in the town centre at the minute. I think the idea of having a group taking responsibility for that is sensible.
And just on that, a lot of that's come out of what you put through for us, Doug. Do we emphasise the community organisation bit enough in that, or should we tighten it up a bit? Because there's a lot about the Town Centre Partnership. It's almost as though the other community organisations come in behind it.
If you took out other, that would strengthen the community organisations rather than other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a partnership, isn't it, where other is added. Yeah.
Or give them a capital C. Makes them really important.
Yeah.
Is it so? The Town Centre Partnership, community organisations, and other private sector providers. So it wouldn't. It doesn't need to be. Do you know what I mean? It can be working with.
I guess that opens
that.
So and private sector. Organisations. What do you say? And other private organisations.
Yeah, other private sector providers. Because the Town Centre Partnership specifically is businesses in the town centre, and it might be that somebody wants to come out from outside to organise something within the town centre, which would be a good thing.
Oh, so we're okay with that, with the rewording. And number six.
Yeah, so number six is picking up the points around the potential for business improvement district, and it's basically just recognising that in their previous setup, the Town Centre Partnership were very keen to progress the feasibility for a bid. This is basically saying under their new structure that we would continue to sort of support them in doing that. So it's not a massive change from what had been discussed previously.
Is that okay? But
is there a cost in setting up the bid? Who pays for that? Is it the actual businesses?
So there is a cost, and I think that's the piece of work that needs to take place to understand what those costs are and then how they would be covered. There's no presumption that this is a cost that sits with the council. It's very much about understanding what that piece of work is. I think the other part of this recommendation that's just worth focusing on is that whatever comes out of that piece of work, there should be a delivery plan associated with that, so that what is currently an idea and a wish to see something happen, that there's kind of some structure that sits underneath that, so that we can kind of keep a track on progress.
Just to recap, I mean, we've discussed business improvement districts in the past, but the gist of it is that it's government funded. I thought there was some government supported. The businesses have to sign up to it. So you need a majority of businesses who sign up to the levy that will be charged. I think that's right to say, Dean, isn't it? And if a majority of businesses across the town centre agree to sign up to the levy, then the Town Centre Partnership, in this case, has the power to appoint a manager to make all the things happen that you want to happen in the business improvement district. Can you put that better, either of you?
Yeah, for you, Chair. Business improvement districts are a very well established vehicle. There are quite a number of them up and down the country. But as you said, Chair, a group comes together to do feasibility work, looks at the area for the business improvement district, you draw a line around a particular area. You come up with a set of proposals within the business improvement district that you would use that additional revenue to deliver. So that could be events, it could be environmental improvements, it could be support for businesses. So there's a number of things, safety, security, that you could put forward as part of the big proposal. And as you rightly say, there's a democratic process. There's a vote that is put to those businesses within the bid area as to whether they want a bid or not, and if a majority of businesses vote for it, then it comes into place normally for about 5 years. A bid company is set up with a bid manager, and they deliver their business plan using the monies that are generated to deliver the activities that they put forward in their bid proposal. So as I said, there are a number of these up and down the country. They are very successful, and it's definitely an idea that is worth looking at. I think as I set out in the report, it's important that there is town centre partnership in place, and I think the wording there around the timing is important as well. So they're not a new concept, but they are very effective, and there's lots that we can learn from other areas. So certainly if you're thinking about town centre events in the future and wanting to bring in more events and more diverse events, a business improvement district could help deliver that objective. So but it isn't government funded, as I say, it's very much about using that levy on business rates to generate the money. But the important thing is that the businesses identify the priorities. It isn't about the council or others saying what needs to be done.
Thanks for that. Yeah, that okay. I mean, we have put quite a strong sentence in there that underpinning this will be a robust delivery plan, which obviously would need scrutinised monthly by Cabinet. So that's going to be a recommendation that goes to Cabinet as well. Takes us on to number 7.
Okay, so that then links into the kind of wider performance monitoring, evaluation, that kind of area. Now, I know there was a lot of discussion, and this was picked up at the previous meeting, and it's a relatively short recommendation, but hopefully it captures the essence of that discussion, which is basically that there is a way of measuring, monitoring, responding to the evaluation of events, and how that's captured, and I think we've kind of included a proposal that we already have a performance monitoring process in place. I think it's next on the agenda for the last quarter, that it would basically form part of that existing structure, so it's not kind of creating an industry out of data. So yeah, like I say, it was quite a lengthy discussion, so hopefully that recommendation captures enough.
You okay with that, Doug?
Yeah.
Because you led on that,
yeah,
very much so.
Yeah, and I think that my lead on it was that it could be an industry of data. You could
the art of the possible is what we're looking at, yes.
So I think this captures the art of what's possible based on actual knowledge of what's already there, so that's, I think it's a good.
Is everybody happy with number 8?
Seven.
We're now on to number 8.
Okay, so number 8, 9 and 10 are all very similar. So this is basically acknowledging the fact that some of the recommendations are talking about work that then needs to be resourced. So number 8 is basically saying recommendation 7 around the collection, evaluation, monitoring of data, that needs to be adequately resourced.
Okay, with that, just referring back to 5.14, I was very pleased to see that the relevant pages on the council site were improved within 24 hours of the group providing feedback to officers. So it shows how the officers take notice of the task and finish group and committee. But thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. And 5.15, I noted. No, that's right. And that covers the whole thing. Are we all happy with that report as it reflects the discussions that took place? And are we happy to refer that?
Could I bring something up, Chair, please?
Of course you can.
On item 9,
yep.
Where it mentions the regeneration of the Guildhall and the former co-op sites, while the NatWest Bank is closing in June. There's a trend being set here about banks in town centres and high streets. The Halifax went about this time last year. I had a meeting with the Halifax Bank along with County Councillor Pardesi. The attitude from Halifax was they were going full stop. They weren't interested in input from council or councillors. They'd made their mind up. NatWest, the following suit, and I think this is the tip of the iceberg of banks in general.
I'm sure
we're
going
to be left with a lot of empty buildings that were formerly banks.
Anybody got any comments to add to that? I don't know how you could fit it into this report, but I think it's something to pick up at a future date. But
it could well be something that, as part of the engagement on the master plan, that's kind of identified, you know, if there's like a SWOT analysis of the town centre, that's considered to be a risk, the number of town centre banks and what kind of strategy is there behind it. I mean, the reality is that the banking sector has changed phenomenally, and this isn't something that's just bespoke to Stafford. This is happening up and down the country. So it's not necessarily about trying to change those decisions, but it's being agile to respond to them when they come through.
It's part of the empty office policy or empty retail policy that will come up anyway. So are you happy that we could put that into the, ask for it to be put into the master plan?
Yeah.
I think for you, Chair, yeah, I would agree. I think just to echo what Michelle has said, it's a national issue. Many of the high street banks have announced branch closures. They've got rolling branch closures, not just in Stafford, but in neighbouring towns. So, it's a point well made. I think in terms of this piece of work, obviously, which is around town centre and, we put some specific recommendations in there around the master plan. I think that probably, as Michelle has said, is where we will look at sites around the town centre. There are empty buildings, not just banks, but empty buildings.
Exactly.
So it's how we can repurpose them for the future. But it's a point well made, and obviously we'll look at that in context of the future vision for the town centre. Thank you.
Okay. And so everybody's happy to refer this to Cabinet for their consideration. Oh,
thank
here's
you.
The Cabinet member.
I'd just like to thank the Task and Finish Group for all the hard work that they've put into putting these recommendations forward, and I'll take these recommendations to Cabinet for full discussion.
Thank you very much for that. And if it would be helpful and Cabinet were so minded to invite me, I'd be very happy to explain propositions that were put forward and the reasons for them. But thank you very much for that. Okay. Just let our note try to catch up. And now we're moving to item number 7, Q3 performance report. Who's doing that? That's Dean.
Yes, this is the usual performance report in the period at the end of quarter 3. Chair, if you want to go through it page by page, I think that's how we normally do it.
Yeah.
Do you want to
good plan.
Start with the
start with all the pictures.
Your page numbers might be different as well, so
page 4. Our page 4 starts with report detail. Priority delivery plans.
So page 4, report detail. So yeah, table 1 just summarises the progress. So within the economic priority within the corporate plan, we have 27 actions. You'll see that we've made progress. We've completed 10 actions, 3 are on target. And 5 are more than 3 months behind the schedule. We'll go into the detail, which page will that be?
7.
We provide a summary of successes during the last quarter. So please do obviously.
Interrupt if you have any comments.
So in terms of the summary, we secured the approval, planning approval for the demolition on the Guildhall and Co-op sites. We have appointed a contractor, and the contractor is actually on site, and the demolition works have started, so obviously this report is slightly behind. And in terms of slippage, again, this is out of date as of now, but when we wrote the report, the start on site date for the station gateway was delayed. Obviously, we've had clarification now that we've got the money, and we did report that at the last meeting. So, further reports on the station gateway will be provided at future meetings. So, page.
Yeah.
This relates to Stafford Town Centre transformation. If there's any questions on this page, Jim?
Doug.
Progress update against secure planning consent. Is it true that it is the September 2014, or is that a typo?
Yeah.
That seems a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's been going on and on so far.
That was a deliberate mistake. 2024, you're quite correct. Sorry about that. You could freeze these. Yeah, 2024. Any other questions?
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, page 9. Station gateway. Obviously, when we did this report, we were not obviously.
You didn't know you got money coming in.
We've had the confirmation of funding, but obviously that's delayed. Other considerations, obviously the acquisition of land. So.
Can I ask what MHCLG is?
Yeah.
Ministry of Housing.
Communities and local government.
It's what was until, I don't know, about 8 months ago, DLUC, so Department of Levelling Up Housing and Communities, but before that it was MHCLG.
Oh,
clear as mud.
May you come for another once?
Okay.
Local plan. Yeah, I think again that's moved on.
Page 11 on the development management. You're coming back to that anyway, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be coming back to the local plan as well. I think things
move
have moved on.
Yeah. This is so out of date, this stuff. It just seems extraordinary to me that it's brought to us. It's 3 months out of date and things move so fast.
We were slightly behind on the development management review. We have finished that now. We're bringing the report back to committee chair.
Right. Any comments on that page? No? I think we've...
Page 12, section 106. Obviously, you had an update at the last meeting on section 106, so officers continue to work on that and review progress. We are in the process of setting up a working group to do a detailed review of section 106, and again, we will bring it back to committee.
Is that okay? Thank you. I think that's it. Thank you very much for that. And now we go to the business growth update. And, Michelle's going to take the presentation.
Okay.
And
so
I think we've got
We've got a few pictures. I can't remember, other than Councillor Kenny and Councillor Reid, whether any of you were in attendance at the business workshop at Post House at the end of January. If you were, I apologise because you'll have seen some of this before, but with updated highlights. So basically what I wanted to do was run you through business support programmes that have either completed since we last met or since you were last updated on this, and then the ones that are still ongoing. And the kind of umbrella over all of that is that the vast majority of this work is supported by the UK SPF funding that we have that runs out on the 31st of March. And that's important, and I'll come back to that in a second. But basically, it's given us the ability to offer lots of support in lots of different ways to businesses, completely free to them, which is brilliant. So there's three different programmes. So I'll start with the Ignite and Thrive, because I like a story, and the story starts with basically this is around business startup. primarily. So basically, this is a programme that was designed to take an idea of a business through to a successful launch. So a number of workshops were organised for this. Following on from that, there was then, linking back to the title of the update, business growth. So how do you then, once you're up and running, how do you, if you're a fledgling business, then upscale and start to grow? So on this one, there were monthly workshops offered. It was an 8-week online course for existing businesses. And this one was launched at the same time as the next two that I'm going to talk to you about. And that's why I say there's a bit of a story to it. This is for very new or soon-to-be businesses. The second programme was around going for growth. So this was those businesses that had gone through the ideas stage, had set themselves up, knew that they wanted to grow, but maybe needed some support in how to move on with that. So again, a number of workshops, and these are still running through this month. So when we say the funding ends at the end of March, we have literally squeezed it right the way to the end of the month so that this runs on as long as we can possibly do with the current allocation of funding. So we kind of entice businesses in with the free workshop, but actually they also get follow-ups, including face-to-face kind of mentoring kind of conversations. And what we've found is, as much as businesses love the ability to apply to grant schemes, and I'll come on to that on the next slide, actually the provision of somebody that they can talk to about their actual business and work through ideas and solutions with somebody that may well have been there, done that before, the feedback we've had on that has been really strong, and I think it kind of demonstrates it's not just about throwing money at something, it's about the experience and the support. So that's being delivered by a company called ETC, and like I say, that's running through to the end of the month. And then the I love the name of this one, the High Street Boost, which has been delivered by Good to Great. This has been an absolute roaring success. So there's three different elements to this. So we offered grants of between £2,000 and £20,000. And I checked the figures just before I came down, and we've awarded grants to the value of £180,000 across 21 different businesses. And anyone that was at the January session at the Post House will know that we were promoting that then, and already that's allocated. So I think what's quite nice with some of these schemes is the speed that we can get them up and running, and Good to Great and Sally Thiemans, who spoke at the Post House in January, was really enthusiastic that actually there's been such a strong response that it's well worth investing the time to do this. So in terms of workshops, again, July to October, those were run completely free, very well attended. I think there was up to 30 businesses could take a place on those. Again, there was several chunks of one-to-one support as a follow-up, looking at things like managing sales, marketing, which I know we've talked about this at this committee before, about how businesses actually put themselves in a position where people know who they are, what they're about, that they're not just relying on footfall to appear, that they're kind of proactive in doing that. On the back of how successful this was, further workshops. Oh, look, I've done the wrong date now. January, February 2025. That should be. Apologies. Basically, more workshops were offered because the demand was there for it. And again, they were extremely well received. And you'll see that element of one-to-one. So it's a bit like we're not offering to do a PowerPoint presentation to a load of businesses, give them a cup of tea and then send them on their way. This is very much about understanding the individual needs of the business, and I think that's helpful in providing kind of long-term sustainability to them rather than maybe a quick fix, some throwaway ideas. So it has been really, really successful. And then because we had a few weeks left in March, we commissioned one final programme, which is specifically around customer service, which isn't something we've kind of picked up on as an individual thing previously. So it's Elm people are running these sessions again, completely free. There's eight sessions on offer right the way through March. It's quite nice, the timings of the sessions have kind of taken into account the fact that some businesses actually operate in the evenings, so we offer afternoon sessions, but equally for retail businesses there's the offer of an evening slot. So hopefully they will be well attended, but as I say, that's only very recently launched. So if you do know anybody that might benefit from that, the information should be on our website, and I know it's been jumping up and down all over Facebook, which is great, because like I say, it's free. One point to note as well, we're not just talking about customers in terms of someone buying something, it's actually around within a business who your internal customers are. So it's almost slightly broader around a wider communications thing. So it's kind of your added benefits. It's not just about how to deal with a customer in front of you. So hopefully when we start getting some case studies back on some of these programmes, we'll be able to give a bit of colour to what's actually come out the other end. Those are the programmes that are either just finished or still running until the end of March.
Thank you very much, Michelle. Comments?
Can I ask a question? How many sort of local companies did you have take it? You mentioned about funding and the people who got the grants, but how many sort of to the original workshops and the original?
Yeah, so I was trying to top them up today, but because they're still booking, it's quite tricky. If this is okay, what I'd like to do is provide you a note with a breakdown of each set of workshops, because they're all doing slightly different things, and some of them took on sort of 30 businesses at a time, whereas others were smaller because they were kind of more intensive workshops. So if that's okay, I'll produce a note that kind of breaks it down, and then you can see which areas got what kind of focus.
And was it a good take up across the whole of the borough?
Yes.
Or was it wasn't just...
We haven't sort of got any clusters. Again, anyone that was at the post house in January, we basically said we have a pot of money here for grants. We want to spend it. So if you are eligible, apply for it. If you know any business anywhere in the borough that you think would benefit from this, we haven't targeted any particular area. We've basically just thrown the net as wide as possible.
Can I ask you, is Elm people a Stafford-based company?
Yes.
Is that the one that's up by the green?
Yes.
Done.
With the grants, are they match funded?
So it depends on the different type of scheme. So some of them are capital grants, some of them are revenue grants, some of them are match funding, some of them require specific outputs. So some are related to business growth, some are related to innovation. So we've got the business innovation grant, the big and big two. That's looking for specific things. So it can't just be, we need to refurb the office kitchen or whatever. It's, well, if this is for innovation, actually we want to buy this bit of IT kit because then we can learn how to do this thing that no one else is doing. So it depends on the kind of stream. I'm building a piece of work here, but would it be helpful if I kind of explained which in the note that I'm doing, what each was doing and what the match requirement was? Would that be useful?
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of business owners locally, one who had applied and one who decided not to, and the speed at which things were happening was and things having to be done in a very short order meant that there were people that couldn't take it up. I think that was a kind of point of feedback they wanted to make, and the match funding also meant that you had to have quite a lot of money on hand to be able to support it and that kind of thing. So there was just a couple of points that they wanted to
I think what we've tried to do, because these are only really the tail end of the grants, there's over the course of the two, nearly 3 years, the total amount of grant spend is considerable. And obviously at the beginning of the scheme, we had more flexibility in terms of time, but because of the criteria of the funding, it is tricky as you get towards the end. But also some of the requirements, if there are any around match funding or what you've got to demonstrate, is also within the umbrella of the funding. So we've tried to be as flexible as we can, but yeah, absolutely, it has been quite fast paced the last couple of months.
Just thinking, I spent my life doing this. You're talking about outputs.
Yeah.
What about the outcomes? Is there going to be any follow-up to measure the success of the ongoing success of the businesses, both the nursery businesses and the, you know, have we got any unicorns and what have you?
Yeah. So
how are we going to do that?
A requirement of the funding is that we've been doing periodic. I think it's every, well, it was quarterly. It's changed slightly recently, but basically performance returns to government to say, this is how we said we were going to allocate the money, this is where we've spent it, and these are the outputs. There's then a very large piece of work that sits behind that, where basically my team then have to go and make sure we've got evidence of those outputs to satisfy the funding. Actually, there's a second, probably bigger reason. Then we know how effective we've been as a business support team. And one of the things that we want to do once this current year's worth of funding has come to an end is then do that backwards looking piece of looking at case studies. So where a business was, what the intervention was, what change has occurred as a result. So yeah, there is quite a significant bit of work to do on that.
So there'll be quite a lot to come out of that actually, won't there, at the end of the day? Because how many businesses have been affected in this batch, as
a
it
lot.
Were? Yeah, so it's a lot of work. So it's something that we'll bring back to this committee, I think, in 12 months' time?
Well, I was
or are you going to succeed?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, we haven't discussed this, but I would like us to bring something back to the committee. You know, the focus at the moment is, as Michelle said, we've got to the end of the month to get the money spent and get businesses signed up, and we're working really hard to do that, and we're confident we will do that. What then we want to do is do that kind of evaluation of impact, come up with some of the kind of impact metrics that we can bring back to committee, because I would like us to be able to sort of tabulate it and say, these are the different programs, these are the number of businesses, but not just the numbers but the outputs and outcomes. I think Michelle, you said about the case studies, we've got some really good case studies. But there's a bit of work to do in terms of putting that into an appropriate format. I know we had a video, I think, at one of the previous committees, and we'd like to do more of that and celebrate the success of some of these programmes. But certainly, I'd like some to come back earlier than 12 months.
Yeah.
If we can get something 6 months.
We've got July, November.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, because this financial year obviously comes to a close soon, we have got one further year's worth of allocation of UK SPF. So once the 31st of March has passed, our next priority is then getting the programme up and running for 25-6. Once that's sorted, then we'll be able to do this piece of work.
Give me a date.
November?
Well, I think earlier.
I think July.
July.
We should be okay.
July.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that would be absolutely
I think once we've completed these programmes and we've got 25, 26 of them running, we should be able to bring some of that information together in a format that is useful for scrutiny. But, there's a lot of support that's gone into businesses. The programmes, from what I've seen, have been very successful. Real mix of businesses, going back to your earlier question, rural businesses, urban businesses. So it'd be good to bring that back and for you to see some of those numbers, but the case studies as well. So let's aim for July. If we have any issues, we'll obviously let you know, but I think it'd be good for you to have a good look at that and think about how effective that programme has been and perhaps what we can learn for the future.
Absolutely. We might even have one of them come along to the meeting.
Oh,
Have Doug's take her up. But thank you for that. And that takes us to the end of that. No more comments on that paper. We just receive it, I think, don't we?
Yeah.
So we're just receiving that report. Thank you. And finally, takes us to. There might be any other business, because Jenny, I left you out a minute. We've done work programme. We've got future items down, and we're going to add for July, we'll add this particular item, but we've got, which ones have we got?
We might need to double check this. We said local plan.
Yes, that's definitely July.
Charlotte Kane couldn't come to this meeting, but we're hoping she'll come to the next one.
Yeah, I've just got to confirm the date with her.
Protecting the rivers. I don't know what the whole thing was called. Protecting rivers, oceans.
That was the
motion.
One
the
motion.
UK SPF update.
Which I guess that's, I think when we discussed that one, that was about where 25.6 is going.
Chair, you may want to do the item we just discussed around the business growth.
Yeah.
We can cover
it can fit into that, can't it?
And business planning report, which is what we do that reviews the year that we've just had.
Oh yes, we have to take that to council.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. That won't take long. That may take a very long time. So just to recap there, Jackie, will you? What we've got done for July now is...
So local plan, Charlotte Kane coming about tourism.
Local visitor economy.
Yep. Protecting rivers and oceans, which was a motion from council. UK SPF update, including business growth and business planning report.
That's manageable, isn't it, Dean?
Could I ask Chair about this, the protecting of rivers and oceans motion? We're inviting water authorities and independent drainage board. Are the environment agency going to be invited to that?
Well, it makes sense.
Are we actually looking at perhaps the flooding and whose responsibility it is?
I think that was the aim of it, wasn't it? That was the aim of the actual motion to address the flooding problems.
I think sometimes I'm not very sure as to who is responsible for what pieces of land and who should we contact if there is a problem of flooding in our wards, for example.
Yep.
Who do we contact? Because we sometimes get batted off by companies that say, that's nothing to do with us, that's the Environment Agency. And then the Environment Agency, no, that's not us, that's Severn Trent. And then Severn Trent say, nothing to do with us, it's the IDB.
We can ask them to come.
You know,
failing them, we can ask the IDB to explain what the Environment Agency is supposed to do.
Should the Severn Trent Drainage Board be involved?
That's what we're talking about, the internal drainage board.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, that is
the Environment Agency subcontract them to do some things, but you must know yourself if you get flooding.
Is that going to become a big item then, do you think? And should it go back to November? I know we keep pushing things back.
I'm just mindful that the wording of the motion was approved by council, so I would just suggest in the first instance we invite the organisations that were agreed in the motion, and that was Severn Trent
and the Environment Agency.
In terms of inviting in, it was just Severn Trent.
I think the other organisations, I think you'd need to do that perhaps as separate.
Because a lot of it's going over to a separate committee, isn't it?
It is a bit of crossover.
There's real crossover, yeah. Can we manage all this? It could be quite a long meeting.
It's quite ambitious.
Just on that, the reason it came to this scrutiny committee was because it's about sewage discharge into rivers and how that relates to planning in particular,
yep.
and where we have developments and Severn Trent's involvement or lack of in that process. So it was particularly trying to address that particular point that Severn Trent to discuss with them and raise with them and bring them into hopefully.
Yeah, that's helpful.
Is that in terms of both planning policy and also development management when they're getting their consultations?
Yeah.
So
yes.
Just to make sure we get the
right
people.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Alexander,
I think, to
the meeting.
I think I've sent you a contact, haven't I?
Yeah.
And I think that if everybody's happy, that makes the agenda, unless anything comes up for July, that's going to be a pretty heavy agenda.
If we're allowed to, yes.
Exactly. And we've got other items.
Sorry, Chair, I was just going to say, you've got a July meeting. Is the next one November?
I think it's June or something or other, and then the next one's November, unless we have an extra meeting.
Yeah, you might want to consider that.
I think
that
we might need an extra meeting.
I think if you're going to cover the local plan, and then you're going to have that discussion around the Rivers and Oceans motion, it's linking in the planning. That's quite an item to cover, isn't
absolutely.
It? Absolutely. And then you've got an external speaker coming, and then you've got the follow-up on the business growth. It's quite a lot.
That's what I've
got. We've also
me.
Got the development management review update and the next steps. So
I think we need to put in an extra meeting.
I think you may want to look at that.
And perhaps, to some extent, time that meeting to when Severn Trent's available.
Well,
we'll catch them and say
we'll agree a date when you're available.
We can
write to them and see what they say. But
even pick up the phone and
if somebody picks it up.
So can we try and find an alternative, an extra date?
So next week
could be in September.
Calling will finish for when the committee cycle went to cabinet. Once that's happened, we'll have the dates confirmed, and then I can add a separate one in.
Yeah.
Okay, so after next week, you'll add a separate date. In September, is everybody happy to have an extra meeting to cover all these items?
It's late September, yes.
We've got one in July.
That's a hell of a long time. I mean, there's nothing happening at all in August when you look at the proposed calendar for August.
Have another one in August.
The meeting's calendar.
You're getting hold of Severn Trent in August might be difficult.
You can have a meeting in August, Chair, but obviously just mindful of some holiday period, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's why we're avoiding August, because there'll be staff on holiday and so on. I'm going to leave it that Jackie will canvass for the date, either sometime in August, but probably the beginning of September. Okay.
But gee, there's not an awful long time between now and July. Can somebody, let's not come earlier than that meeting. You know what I mean? How many
what
have
we got?
We
We're
got
in March.
June.
We got
to June. Can some of this
do some in May?
You could have change of committee members as well in May. Once the new cycle starts.
That doesn't matter, does it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, you've still got to have your meetings.
What are we talking about?
Well, they're going to have that whenever the item goes on.
I think you've got an option on your chair. You could look at June or September.
June.
I think we've got to do what Jack has just advised us we need to do in terms of the calling. And the committee cycle is agreed. And perhaps we'll have a look at whether we could slot one in earlier.
We've got one at the end of June. That's June the 31st, isn't it? Or is it 1st of June?
I don't know. I'd need to double check.
Is there one at the end of July? One in July? I don't think so.
No, it's one at the beginning of July. Or I think it was the 31st of June, if I remember.
If we wait until we've had calling, and then I'll confirm
okay.
what's already agreed.
And you'll take notes of the suggestions that we should have it sooner rather than later.
I think if we agree the principle of an additional meeting, we'll
can't we possibly deal with some of these future items? Okay, you can't deal with protecting our rivers until we've got a date from the Environment Agency.
No, exactly.
But we could get some of these done before.
Yep.
The local plan's definitely July.
And the tourism one.
And the
tourism,
tourism is definitely July.
Yeah, we could. We could utilise a June or a September. We'll canvas dates.
And you'll work out the
programme. How we can program that. I think you probably want us to go through the initial
In the appendix, it also refers to rural businesses support. Could that be rolled into the
UKSPF?
And the master plan was to be discussed with community wellbeing. And then we've also got historic buildings. That can fit in with the local plan.
In the first instance,
to start, and then we'll take it on from there. It's a bit of a muddle, but I think we've sort of got there.
We'll have a look at it in terms of the meetings and the items, and we'll try and come up with a plan
that allows time for each item.
We'll try and program them
in it. Thank you very much for that. I think that covers all items. Can we put an AONB? AOB. I just wanted to pick up the police report that I circulated to everybody.
A slight point of order on this, and the fact that it wasn't actually part of the agenda specifically, and I think it's, looking at the document, I think it's quite an important thing that we need to have it out there from the beginning, and also have it out for members of the general public so that they can actually see it and ask any questions, because obviously on a night like this, as you rightly pointed out at the beginning, members of the public don't have the right to speak.
Absolutely.
So I would request whether or propose that this is potentially put back and actually put in as a specific item.
I agree. And Councillor Barron has been in contact with Giles Parsons, and that's the point I wanted to pick up, because he's offered to come and speak to the committee, and this is an ideal opportunity to bring him in. So there's another item we've got to add to our two meetings. Do you want to say anything on that, Jenny?
Yes, I mean, in the daytime, we emailed him. He's already emailed to say he will come. He'd be delighted to come and speak to us.
And with this document, there's something really to get his teeth into with us.
Yeah.
And so Jackie will liaise with you when she's got dates sorted out, if that's all right. And are there any other items? Thank you, everybody, for your attendance. And I declare the meeting closed. Thank you.